In today's programme, Britain's Hare Krishna movement celebrates 30 years of settled life, but some of its members say it's stamping on dissent. Once upon a time, shaven-headed and orange-robed, they were a kind of touchstone for what it was to be alternative. Today, the Hare Krishna movement, otherwise known as ISKCON, the International Society for Krishna Consciousness, is almost part of the establishment. Its British headquarters, Bhaktivedanta Manor in North London, was a present from the Beatle George Harrison, and this week marks its 30th anniversary. However, not everyone in the movement will be celebrating, as Shazia Khan reports.
Today, a wedding is taking place at Bhaktivedanta Manor, and women are singing blessings for the new couple. The rituals are very similar to those at traditional Hindu weddings, as the Hare Krishnas trace their roots back to Hinduism and share many of the same beliefs. The celebrations this week will be enjoyed by Western devotees and South Asian Hindus alike. Gauri Das is the president at the manor.
It really marks, I think, successes within a very new institution. And of course, with the Hare Krishnas, how we celebrate, well, we dance and we chant the names of God and we take sumptuous prasadam, which is vegetarian foodstuffs offered to Lord Krishna.
But all is not well within the Hare Krishna movement.
I was thrown into a bush and had my neck beads, my holy neck beads, ripped off my throat and threatened. I was intimidated, strongly intimidated.
Some devotees are claiming they've suffered reprisals for criticizing the way the movement is run. They believe the late founder, Bhaktivedanta Swami Prabhupada, left specific instructions stating that he was to be the only guru of the movement, and that after his death, it should be managed by lower-ranking priests. But those in charge now in some parts of the world, though not at Bhaktivedanta Manor, are referred to and treated as gurus. Krishnakant Desai, a graduate from Cambridge University, is the brain behind the dissident movement, and says this is all wrong.
When you go to a church, the priest or the bishop or whoever simply helps you be connected as a follower, direct follower and disciple of Jesus. They don't make you a disciple or follower of them. So very simply, we are supposed to be disciples directly of the founder. Those were his instructions, which are in black and white. But unfortunately, these self-elected, self-appointed gurus are saying, no, you have to be disciples of us. You must give all your reverence, worship, money, etc., etc., to us.
Krishnakant was expelled from Bhaktivedanta Manor and all other Hare Krishna centres in the UK in 1993 for expressing such views. Since then, others have also been banned. Every month, a group of dissident devotees who share Krishnakant Desai's views meet in secret outside the manor.
My name is Bhajahari Das, and I was previously used to live at the manor from 1973, Bhaktivedanta Manor.
Bhajahari used to be the president of the manor, but he too was expelled 6 years ago for speaking out in favour of the dissidents.
One time I went to the manor and I was beaten up for voicing my opinion.
Others say they're forced to keep silent against their convictions for fear of also being expelled from the manor and losing the focus of their devotion, such as this devotee whose voice we've had to disguise.
It's painful for me personally because it means that I can't express my opinion. It means that I feel restricted when I go to the temple to worship.
The gurus say the dissidents are misguided in their views, and that it is a long and established tradition of India for gurus to succeed each other, and that their founder fully intended for the movement to be run by gurus to guide devotees. They see the dissidents as disruptive. The president at Bhaktivedanta Manor told me why their views could warrant expulsion.
I think it's very appropriate. I think if you were to join the Catholic Church and then start preaching atheism, I don't think it would be appropriate to use that form for doing that. Sure, do it, but don't be pretentious and accept the disciplines and tradition and philosophy of an institution and then use that platform to preach your own understandings or speculations.
Professor Mallory Nye, an expert on Hindus in Britain, is sceptical about the claim that the Hare Krishna leaders have been too harsh in their treatment of the dissident reform movement.
I don't think ISKCON do wish to take a heavy hand. I know that there are cases of ISKCON reform leaders, preachers, having been discouraged and in some cases banned from preaching within ISKCON temples across the world. But I take with a little bit of a pinch of salt stories of people being in fear for their safety, perhaps, or any such allegations. ISKCON are a very peaceable organisation, and I think perhaps this is just a case of perhaps personalities.
But reform leader Krishnakant Desai thinks what he sees as the suppression of the dissidents has tarnished the movement as a whole.
Even though the teachings of the founder are pure and the movement had the potential to be a very great movement because it was hijacked by these power-crazed leaders, unfortunately today it is behaving in classic cult fashion.
Temple President Gauri Das, on the other hand, is adamant that the row is a mere storm in a teacup and that it certainly won't spoil the celebrations this week.
It's a few people with a strong opinion and a belief. They're fully entitled to that, but it's not anything for our institution to worry about or to feel threatened by. They say when the elephant walks through the village, so many dogs will bark and continue to bark, but does the elephant stop to attend to the barking of dogs? Not at all.
Gauri Das ending that report from Shazia Khan.